love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing.
Several announcements, actually, but first of all, I'd like to thank everyone that participated in, prepared for, participated in, and attended the Christmas party. We had a good time, whatever night it was. I don't even remember. Was it Thursday? It was Thursday, wasn't it? And it's been more than one day, so I don't know. But anyway, we had a good time, and just thanks to everyone that helped to make that happen. Today is the first Sunday of the month, and we are going to have some food after the service. So Vicki has made some sandwiches, and it's got something in the crock pot back there, something, I don't know, whatever. But anyway, everyone's welcome to stay after the service and fellowship, have some food. And there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board if someone wants to do it next month, and we're just going to kind of play it by ear. If you sign up, great, and if no one signs up, we won't have food. So, but anyway, so Vicki's the only one that signed up so far for the year. So maybe she'll do it every month. I don't know. But anyway, the sign-up sheet is over there. So, oh, and you do get paid. You get $100. The church gives you $100 to help buy all the stuff that you need to do that. So, So if you're interested, please sign up. This Friday at 7 o'clock, we're going to show a movie. And it's a Christmas movie. It's Christmas with the Chosen. We do have that, right, Dave? Dave?
He's very busy right now.
Yeah, he's very busy right now. But he supposedly downloaded it, so or stream or whatever. Yeah, all that stuff. Downstream, upstream. It's like yeah. But anyway, the movie will start right at 7 o'clock, but you know, obviously you can come early, and if you want to bring some stuff, I don't know, are we going to supply anything? Or, I don't know. I'm bringing myself, and yeah, we can, yeah, some popcorn. We can maybe get some popcorn and have some lemonade or something. But anyway, if you would like, 7 o'clock Friday evening, everyone is invited, and you can bring somebody or whatever, you know, bring a friend. Our quarterly business meeting will be on the last Sunday of this month, which is the 30th, and everyone's encouraged for that. And that will be our year-end meeting. We will give stats for the year, and so just kind of have that in mind that that's coming. Tomorrow at 10 in the morning, we are taking down the decorations, so anyone that would like to help with that, be here around 10 o'clock, and we'll get the church back to the normal thing that's going, whatever we have normally, which is nothing. So, but anyway, that's at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, and keep in mind the Valentine banquet is coming. That's February 11th, which is a Friday at 6:30. And that will be here. And there will be a sign-up sheet. There is not one yet. But there will be one probably next Sunday, because that will be upon us pretty fast. Then the last thing is, I've got this flyer hanging on the bulletin board along with a sign-up sheet. It's called Uniquely You. And it's a spiritual gift seminar or workshop. Identify your specific spiritual gift and personality type. Discover how personality types affect spiritual gifts. Solve the mystery of motivation. Find where you fit best at work or church. How to reduce conflicts and increase effectiveness. Improve communication and understanding. Learn human behavior science from a biblical perspective. And it's at Twin Lakes Church, which is really not that far from here. It says Palmdale, but it's really not in Palmdale. It's Lake Los Angeles. So, but anyway, it's about 25 minutes from here, something like that. Not far. And it's $15 for the book, and they're providing lunch. It's from 9 to 3, and that's on January 22nd, which is Saturday. So if you're interested, you can talk to me, ask me about it. I'll give you what limited things I know, and there's a sign-up sheet there as well. And I'm not sure what the deadline is for that, but I had a couple people ask me about it already, so... So anyway, sign up, please, and then there will be a date. Eventually I'll find out. I'll talk to Charlie, find out when it is or when they have to know. I think that's it. Anybody know anything I don't know? Or did I forget something? Probably a lot of people know things I don't know. But anyway... with that, let's go to the verse. Matthew chapter 8, 23 through 27. And when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you just thankful, Lord. Beautiful day you've given us, a time of fellowship today here, singing praises to you, Lord, as we come here to worship you, Lord. And you are worthy of our worship, and we thank you and praise you for what you are doing in our lives, in our church, and yes, even now in the world and all that's going on with that. And so, Father, help us today as we seek your face. Ask you to bless this time, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to get this thing right sometime today. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can.
I don't think I even need that thing. Harvey says I need to have it. He can't hear me sing.
I'm deaf in his ear, so.
Yeah.
Join us as we sing.
When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you.
truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things, be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the water, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. You are my strength and comfort. You are my steady hand. You are my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where I'll go you've not already stood. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the water, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. 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 Thank you. here, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. So bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His holy. Your holy name. Yes, I'll worship your holy name.
Is he missing in action again? Don't give him the clicker no more.
See. We'll continue. The book of Matthew. And Jesus has been gaining a following due to the miracles he's been performing. And he was set to go across the Sea of Galilee. And then two people approached him, and they announced their desire to follow him. And he paused to give us some teaching on that point, and we talked about that don't know if it was last week, I guess it was, on the point, the price, and the priority of following Christ. And so he had taught them intellectually, but now he's going to show his disciples and us experientially, what the decision to be a follower of Christ will require. And, you know, this is a familiar passage. If you've been in church any amount of time, you've probably heard messages on this before. But it's really something that's really pertinent, especially today. As things change in our culture, in our society, in our country, in the world, it's affecting everyone individually. And following Christ is going to be harder. And so this passage, I think, has renewed meaning. It's always had meaning. It's always been important. But I think it's really relevant for us as Christians, as believers. You know, we're Christians, which means if we say we're Christian and we actually are Christian, then we are a follower of Christ. Jesus said, you know, you've got to die to yourself and follow me. And that means a lot of things can happen along the way that maybe we'd rather not. But we still need to be faithful. And that's really what this whole message is about, is maintaining your faith in the midst of the storm. And so let's just look into the scriptures. And there's five verses here. And each one brings something to us. And so in verse 23, we see, follow Christ into a ship. Into a vessel, if you will. And he says in verse 23, when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. So it's just a very simple statement, but we are followers of Christ, and where Christ may go, we need to follow him. I mean, in this case, it was a ship. And I think it's there's a little meaning there in that, you know, water is not our element. When we were up in Oregon, we spent a lot of time with these binoculars in this house that we were staying at for those 4 days or 5 days, whatever it was. They had binoculars like all over the place because the ocean was right there. It was right on the ocean. And we were watching this. I don't know if it was a seal or a sea lion or it was something, one of those. And it was out there in the same spot like many of those days. And he just bobbed around, you know, and then he'd go under for a while. And then he'd pop up and he'd be sitting there. You could see his little face, you know, and he's just sitting there and he was just kicked back. You know, no stress, no worry. It was no big deal because he was in his element. Now, I could go out to that sea. He wasn't that far offshore. I could have swam out there, but I'd have been coming back quick because it's not my element. I mean, I would have gotten tired, cold, yeah, all those things. So when you're not in your element, it's hard to follow. That's just facts. And you know what? A lot of times when we follow Christ, he takes us out of our element. He takes us out of our comfort zone. He takes us out of what we're used to. True disciples of Christ are willing to go to sea with him. And it says his disciples followed him. You know, most of those people that were there, I mean, he was just talking to multitudes. And he says, okay, we're going in the ship. I guarantee you, 99% of them went home. Two that we know of said, I will follow you anywhere. And Christ reminded them of what that means when you say that. And so we see that the disciples went in to the ship with him. And that means you're willing to follow him no matter what. It may be difficulty. It may even be danger. You know, you don't know. And you just, it's faith. Again, it's faith. And are you willing to follow him into the ship? You know, there's people that, you know, they have a fear of flying. You know, there's been some sports, you know, John Madden just passed away just this week, who's a football coach, and a well-known one in the sport, you know. But when he became a commentator, he went around the country in a bus because he hated to fly. And so he would go, you know, wherever the next game was that he had to handle, you know, he was on the bus and he'd go on the bus because he didn't want to get in that vessel that we call an airplane and fly there. And I wonder how many of us as Christians, you know, because we don't want to, you know, and you've heard it, I've heard it. Well, I don't know if I can give my life to Christ. He's going to make me go somewhere I don't want to go, you know. But are you a follower of Christ or not? And do you trust him enough to go a place you don't really want to go? You know, in your flesh, in your rathers. I'd rather go here. You know, we recently, we had a guy that was involved with the him and his wife, David Whitehead, Nancy Whitehead. They were part of the state convention, and they were, I forget their title, but anyway, it doesn't matter. But they were called, and they went to Hawaii. But they went right when COVID hit. So, you know, you would think, oh, Hawaii, you know, oh, yeah, I wish the Lord called me to Hawaii. They went there and were immediately shut down. They were immediately locked down. And they started a church in some really difficult circumstances there. And they're there. They're there right now. And they've won people to the Lord. And they have a work going on there. And they're having trials. They're meeting in some kind of a amusement park or something that's not open on Sundays or something. And they're charging them like really high rent. And they're looking for another place. So, you know, when you follow Christ, you can count on difficulties, and it's going to take faith. And so, you know, I put a sentence in each one of these on your sheet because it's the point I want to make for each one of those. And we need to remember these points, but we must have the faith. We must have the faith to follow Christ, whether it's in a storm or a palace. You know, some people follow Christ and we look at that, it looks like pretty good duty. Then other people follow Christ and pretty difficult. But we got to have faith. The faith to follow him. And this just builds. You know, first you just got to get in the ship. You just got to be willing to go. Remember when I went to Peru the first time, I was pretty nervous. Got on that airplane and all of a sudden, you know, I think it was Taka Airlines, you know, which everybody on there spoke Spanish. And I don't, you know, I could, uno, you know, see, you know, I mean, that was pretty much the limit of my expertise in the language. I could count to 10 and, you know, I knew the meaning of baño. That's very important if you're going to a Spanish-speaking country. But that was about it, man. That was about it. And so all of a sudden, they're talking in Spanish and all this, and I'm like, wow. And then you get there, and you can't read anything. You know, it took faith. You know, and I had a little. You know, and that was all I had was a little. I'll be honest. But God says, you know, that's all you got to have is a little. And he'll do the rest. And I have found him to be faithful in everything that I have done for him. And in any way that I've tried to follow him, I have found him faithful. And we must have the faith to follow him. Because you know what? Sometimes as we see in this passage, he leads us right into the storm. You know, so many times people they think, oh, things are going bad. This is not God's will. It could, you know, if it was God's will, it would just all fall into place. Not necessarily. Sometimes it does, and praise the Lord when that happens, but sometimes God leads us into difficulty. He leads us into storms, as we see here. We must have the faith to follow Him, whether it's into a storm or into a palace. Secondly, not only do we have to follow Him into the ship or into the vessel, we need to be willing to follow Him into a storm. And verse 24, Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. Now, I like this. But He was asleep. You know, in the midst of our biggest deals, do you really think God is wringing His hands over your situation? Is He losing sleep? I mean, not that God sleeps, but we know He doesn't. But Jesus did. Jesus was a person. He is a person. And He needed to sleep. He got tired. He felt pain. He knew what it was like to be hurt emotionally. He knew what it was to be betrayed. You know, he experienced all the things of life we experience. And He needed rest. And so, He's just done all these things. He's been healing. I mean, no wonder He was tired. Look what He's just been doing. He healed the multitudes. He's casting out all these demons. And I'm telling you, that's spiritual warfare. And even though He was God in the flesh, He was still in the flesh. And I'm telling you, when you deal with spiritual stuff, it drains you worse than any job you ever do. I have done it. And I can walk out of a counseling session of 1 hour and I'm just like toast, because it's a spiritual battle. Sometimes you are literally dealing with things that are just beyond you, and it drains you, and you need rest. And Jesus has been casting out demons and healing people and talking to these guys and all that. And He gets on the ship and He's like, okay, take me to the other side. I'm crashing. And He just goes below. And He's out. And we have this storm. And it was a huge storm. I mean, these guys that were on the ship, some of them at least, not all of them were fishermen. And it doesn't really tell us who was there specifically. His disciples, however many he had at the time. They're there. Peter was a fisherman. James and John were fishermen. But I don't know about the rest of them. Andrew was probably a fisherman too, but that's four. But what about the tax collector? You know, he was probably worthless on a boat. You know? I mean, you know, you think about these things. And so they're on there. But even these fishermen who had fished this lake their whole lives and seen many storms, and the Sea of Galilee is actually pretty famous for the storms that can just come up just like that, just part of the geography of that area causes it. They are scared for their life. I mean, this is not some little, you know, wind picking up. This is really bad. And it says the tempest. And in another account in Mark, you know, it talks about the boat's filling up and they're afraid it's going to sink. Are we willing to follow Christ into the storm? Christ is showing us that in following Him, we have to expect storms along the way. You know, life is not totally one storm from birth to death, but there will be storms along the way, many of them. Many of them. I mean, I grew up in Florida every year. You know, we'd have several months of pretty good weather, and then every fall, hurricane after hurricane after every year. And we never really got hit hard where we lived, but it always got windy. It always rained for like a week and or more. But they would come, and you knew they were coming. And you know what? When you're going to be a follower of Christ, you need to know they're coming. You may not be able to track it like we track hurricanes, but I can guarantee it, storms are coming. We need to be ready. Only in heaven do we find perpetual calm. Okay? In heaven, it's going to be good. No storms. It's going to be good. But this was a tremendous storm. But it did not keep Jesus from sleeping. One, he's really tired. But two, he has faith. He knows his Father. His Father has a plan for him. Nothing's going to happen that his Father is not in control of. Christ's sleep was one of serenity through his complete dependence upon his Father. How's your serenity when things are totally crazy? Are you believing in what the Father is doing in your life? Do you have complete dependence? I mean, look at Peter. We got an example here. This is Peter, of course, 3 or 4 years later. And he's been arrested. Now, they've already killed James. James has already been arrested, and he's been executed. And Herod thought that was such a good thing that he thought he would do it to Peter also. And so he had Peter arrested, and Peter is in prison. And it says when Herod would have brought him forth, in other words, it was time. There was a day that was set that Peter was going to be executed. And when that happened, that same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So this is the night, his last night, theoretically, according to Herod, going to be executing Peter in the morning. And here's Peter. Is he worried? You know, has he got a sleep? Don't raise your hand, but how many of us have lost sleep over stuff? Stuff that's going on, storm situation. Sometimes it's our, and you know, and if it's because of you, you probably do have a reason to lose sleep. But if it's because you're following God, okay, if it's because you're following God, there's no reason to worry. If you're not doing anything wrong, there's no reason to worry. There's no reason to lose sleep. Peter hadn't done anything wrong. He was obeying his Lord, and in that he was arrested and he was sentenced to death. They were going to execute him. And of course, we know the story. The angel came and the chains fell off and just walked right out of the prison. And those guards actually got executed. And they did nothing wrong. Jesus slept, and in doing so, he was testing the faith of his disciples. Does it ever seem like in your life that Jesus is asleep? I mean, like, you got something going on, and you know, you're going to him, and you're going to him, and you're going to him, and it's like nothing's happening. The storm just goes on. And we may, in our vernacular, we may say something like, wow, you know, God's not hearing me, or Jesus isn't hearing me, or gosh, is he asleep? Is he aware of what's going on? I'm calling out to him, and there's nothing going on. But sometimes God says, you know what? You got to go through something so that I can do something. This is going to make you better. This is going to build your faith. This is going to make you more impactful for me in the kingdom. You know, God always has a purpose when he allows things into our life. He doesn't take joy in our difficulties, but he does use our difficulties to grow us, to teach us, sometimes to get our attention. I've counseled some people like that. I'll say, you ever think God's maybe trying to get your attention? In that little book called Haggai, there's a verse in there that says, I smote you, and yet you would still not turn to me, saith the Lord. I mean, sometimes He is actually bringing the difficulty into our life, saying, turn to me, come to me, start doing things my way. We must have the faith to trust Christ, even if He seems to be asleep in the midst of the storm. Do you trust Him? Do you know you're supposed to be where you're at? Then if so, don't doubt. I had someone tell me a long time ago when I was first really getting involved with ministry. And he said, don't undo in doubt what you start out to do in faith. And I've remembered those words. Because sometimes we get excited about something and we're all right, you know, and we get into it and it's not what we thought it was going to be. That's why it's so important to know that God called you to what you're doing. And you follow Him into that. And then when things start going crazy, and a lot of times they do, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't undo in doubt what you set out to do in faith. Go forward. Finish it. Do it. Even when it seems like He's not around. That's when your brain has to take over, okay? You know, sometimes we feel, I just don't feel like God's hearing me. That's where your brain takes over because you know God hears you. He hears His children. Are you a child of God? He hears you. And then if He's not doing anything, then you have to say, okay, God, you're doing this for a reason. Help me to, you know, grow in whatever area. Help me to see what you see. Help me to be more like Jesus. You know, whatever it might be. You in mentally, even though you feel like He's not there, even though you feel like He's asleep, you know He's not. And that's where faith kicks in. Got to have faith, even if it seems to be asleep. Third, when things are really tough, pray. Pray to Christ to save you. Verse 25, and His disciples came to Him. Well, they knew to do that. Right? And you know what? When we're having difficulties, when we're in a position where, that we don't like, or we have fear, yes, even fear, because they were afraid, go to the Lord. And it came to Him, and they woke Him up. Sometimes we feel like we have to wake up God. And they said, you know, very simple, Lord, a very simple prayer. Lord, save us. We perish. You know, when you're in the middle of a big typhoon or something, we don't have time to go through adoration, confession, thankfulness, and supplication. We just jump right to supplication, okay? You know, there's a time for adoration. You know, there's a time for those things. But sometimes our need is imminent. It's desperate. It requires God's attention right now. And they just jumped right to the point. Lord, they called Him Lord. They acknowledged His Lordship. Save us. Otherwise, we're dead. We can't handle this. The disciples, in their fear, even though they were used to the sea, they went to Christ. Following Christ can put you in situations of danger where you can be afraid. You know, it's not a sin to have some fear. That's just our natural, you know, God gives us that to keep us from, you know, when you get to the edge of a cliff, you know, I'm like, I mean, we were at Grand Canyon in my granddaughter, well, you know her, Lila, and she went right out to the, I mean, she was out there hanging her feet over the edge. And I know Anna was a little nervous about that. And I went out so far, but I didn't go where she went. Because, man, there's just nothing there. You know, there's a whole lot of air. That's about it. But God gives us that fear to keep us safe. You know, so it's a natural thing when we're in these circumstances, we have a little bit of fear to keep us safe, but we need not let our fear keep us from what we know God has called us to do. These disciples knew. Jesus said, take me to the other side. That's the will of God. And when you know you're in the will of God, then you go forward even though you're afraid. That's what's called bravery. Bravery doesn't mean you're not afraid. Bravery is doing what you're supposed to do even though you are afraid. You just do it because you know you're supposed to do it. God called me to do this. I'm afraid, but I'm going to do it. Because He called me to. Following Christ can put you in situations where you are afraid. But don't let your fear overcome your faith. You know, God knew we would have fear. You know, when you read His Word, anytime an angel appears to somebody, what do they always say first? Fear not. You know, all, you know, Mary, Joseph, you know, you can read in the Old Testament, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because God knows what we're made of. He knows when we run into something that's way different than what we're used to, we're like, what is this? Right? That's just natural. And God knows it. And He says, don't be afraid. Just follow me. Safest place you can ever be is where God wants you. Safest place you could be. And they said their prayer, Lord, save us. You know, they believed He could save them. You ever been there? No, I know God could, you know, get me out of this or whatever. But they prayed that He would save them. Sometimes I think we pray prayers of doubt, like, well, Lord, if You see fit, you know. Lord, I know I don't deserve it. Then we bargain with Him. You know, if You get me out of this, I'll do this for You. And He keeps His end and we don't. But they believed He could save them, but they also prayed He would save them. You know, pray the prayer of faith. And then pray the prayer of, Lord, Your will, not mine. Acts 2:21 just simply says, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, there's different meanings of save. I mean, we can look at it in the salvation context, and that's certainly true. But, you know, also in the context of a problem, you shall be saved. It may not happen for a while. You may have to go through this circumstance for, you know, some people go through things for years and years and years. But, you know, for the Christian, one day you will be saved from it. Because we have eternity in our future. You got to remember, it's temporary, folks. We must be sure when in the storm that in our fear, it is still our faith that drives us to Christ in prayer. Because we'll see in the next verse, He rebukes them. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? He didn't rebuke them for being fearful. He rebuked them for having little faith. In our fear, we need to go to God in faith that He is able. And that if He's not changing something, then it's His will that we be in that position at that time for that distance, however long that is. How many times do we question God in those areas? trust in Christ to settle you. He said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he arose, rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. A great calm. Christ did not reprove the disciples for disturbing him with their prayer. He rebuked them for disturbing themselves with their fears. These are the people that can't sleep at night. You're so afraid of what's going to happen. You are the one that's unsettled. You are the one that's fearful. You are the one that has no faith. That's why he rebuked them for a lack of faith. Why are you fearful? You are with me. You are in my will. Whatever happens, it is okay. Whatever happens. He said, take me across. He didn't say they'd ever arrive. Now we know they did. But you know, there's a lot of people have lost their lives following Christ. We don't like to think about that, but it's reality. It's truth. I mean, read Fox's Books of Martyrs. I mean, a lot of people have paid great prices for following Christ. But some of those people, when you read the accounts, they were at peace, even when they were being tied to the stake, or you know, the guys lighting the fire. Those things happen. You say, well, I could never do that. Well, you know, if you place yourself in the position of following Christ, you'll get the grace to do whatever it is that God's called you to do. If God called you to die for him, then you'll have the grace to die for him. If God calls you to live for him, you'll have the grace to live for him. God gives us grace as we need it. And how do you get grace? You've got to put yourself in the position of needing it. You've got to be obedient and follow Christ. And then when those situations come, he gives you what you need to follow. They were disturbed with their fear, which was rooted in their lack of faith. First, Christ reproved them. He says, why are you fearful? You have little faith. But then he delivered them. And there was a great calm. There was a great calm. I'm going to talk more about this when we get to the next verse, but for now, we must, by faith, be able to look through the storm to the quiet shore. There is peace on the other side. It is there. And with that faith, you confidently weather the storm. You have confidence, not in yourself, in him. He called me to do this. I am doing this. I have confidence that he knows what he's doing. You know, I will trust. I will trust. I will trust in you. The song we just sang. Do we have that confidence that when the storm comes, we weather the storm? We weather the storm with confidence. Which leads us to the final point, really what it's all about. Trust in his sovereignty. Trust in his sovereignty. And I've been touching on this lately, and I'll say it again. True sovereignty. Life and death and everything in between is in the hands of the sovereign king. You know, the king's cupbearer and the baker, Joseph, you know. One guy lived, one guy died at the word of the king. Remember Esther? You know, Mordecai says, you got to go. God's placed you here for this purpose. You got to go. And she went and fasted and prayed. And then she said, okay, you know, if he kills me, he kills me. And when she went forward before the king, you know, was he going to hold the scepter out? or not. It was in his power. Her life was in his hands. And you know what? As a follower of Christ, our life is in his hands. It's not your life. You belong to him. Your future's certain. He's already made provision for your future. What he does here in this time, in this place, is up to him. And we need to trust in his sovereignty. It says, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? If Christ speaks the word, not only does the wind cease, but the sea calms. You know, I grew up in Florida. And man, that ocean was ugly after a hurricane. During the hurricane, really ugly. But even when the winds died down, you know, we'd go to the beach and you couldn't surf it. You'd be crazy if you got in it. It was just chaos. The sea's just like, it's crazy. There's no pattern. Like, you know, you go to the shore and the waves kind of roll in and there's kind of a pattern. Well, after a hurricane, there's no pattern. It's just all over the place. I don't know how to explain it. When you see it, you just know, I'm not going out there. And God not only stopped the wind, he stopped the sea too. The wind is the cause. When the wind comes, when there's a hurricane, the wind is what roils up the water. And then when the wind goes away, the water is still affected by it. It's cause and effect. Do you understand? He's the God of the cause, and he's also the God of the effect, and he can still it all. He can stop the wind, and he can stop the sea at the same time. He's God. He can do that. And just like he can control the sea and the wind, he's sovereign over everything you are going through. Every single thing. Including the cause and the effects of whatever it is that's going on. We must, by faith, live our lives. If we're going to be a follower of Christ, I mean, you know, obviously we don't have to do this, and many times we don't. But if we're going to be a follower of Christ, we must, by faith, live our lives through the lens of the sovereignty of God over the storms we encounter. Really, our task is to be close enough with God that we know his will. That's our task. We have to build our relationship. We got to be in his word, be about the business of serving him and the things we know are his will. You know, there's a lot of things in here we don't have to pray about. You know, I don't have to pray whether I should forgive a person. It's in here. Forgive. I don't have to pray about, gee, do I pray for my enemy? No. Bible says pray for your enemies. You know, there's things in this book that give us God's will. And you know what? It's kind of slapping God's face when you ask him for something you already know what he said. We need to do his will. But there are a lot of things in our life that it's not found in this book. Should I be a Sunday school teacher? Should I be a missionary? Should I be a pastor? Should I stay at my job? Should I take a job transfer? What should I do here? You know, how should I relate? You know, there's a lot of things you're not going to open up to 1 Corinthians 16 and find the answer. Okay? It's not there. We have to have a close enough relationship with God that when we have these questions, we can hear his answer. And then you trust in his sovereignty, because sometimes the answer doesn't make sense. to us, anyway. Makes sense to him. He's got the big picture. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. And that's why you really need to be sure that it's God that's telling you to do whatever it is you're doing. Because, you know, the devil has a voice in your head, too. And he is an impersonator. He's a deceiver. And he can make statements that sound pretty good at the time. And then when you get into it, you're like, man, was that a mistake? And you know it wasn't of God. And you were fooled. And don't be afraid. You're in good company. Satan has fooled all of us at one time or another. We fall for it. It is so important to maintain your relationship with God and know His voice. What did Jesus say? My sheep know my voice. They hear me and they follow me. And you have to look at it when He does speak to you through the lens of the sovereignty of God. He's sovereign. He holds your life in His hands. Those who want to follow Christ must go to sea. What do I mean by that? You got to get out of your comfort zone. You got to get to where you're trusting God and not yourself. That's what that is. See, figurative. I mean, you may still be on dry land, but he's taking you to a place you're not comfortable. You're not in your element. Whatever that may be. But if you want to follow Him, you got to go. Because otherwise, you're not following. You're following you. You're making the decision. Now it's your sovereignty instead of His. But those that want to experience the calm in the midst of the storm, you got to go to sea. If you never get in the storm that's God's will, you'll never get the peace that God offers in those storms. You know, people... No, go on. Those that want to learn to pray. I mean, if you say, well, I already know how to pray. Well, no. You got to learn to pray. And you got to go to sea. You got to get out there where you need answers to prayer. Now you may say, well, I need answers to prayer here. Well, yeah, you do. I mean, you know, but I mean, you want to see, you know, most people, when you talk to Christians, they want to see God do something mighty in their life. You know, we want to experience that. Well, unless you put yourself in a position where something mighty can happen, you're not going to see something mighty. Got a little bit of faith, you get a little, you know, more faith, get a bigger response to your faith. God brings us along. You know, at first it's very simple things. I remember when I first started giving to the church, it was a big deal for me to give $20 out of a paycheck, making several hundred. And I thought I was doing good giving 20. But God was patient with me. And you know what? He grew me in my giving. And I began to have faith. And my faith grew. And I grew in my giving. Which is a very simple will of God that's very clear in the Bible that we should do. But He's patient. You know, I've had people, you know, they come to me with money problems. I say, you need to give something to the church. You need, you know, not because we need your money. You need to learn to give. And let God show you some stuff. Because that builds your faith. And once He started showing Himself faithful to me, it increased my ability to be faithful to Him. You got to get out there and do something. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. You can say, well, I don't know. You got a relationship with God. You find out. He's not going to tell me what you need to do. Those that want to build their faith must go to see. I kind of jumped ahead. Oh, well. But that's, you know, that's where you get faith. You step out a little bit in uncertain water, and God comes through, then you know what? The next time, you'll go a little deeper. And when God comes through, you'll go a little deeper. And when God comes through, you'll go a little deeper. Then pretty soon you're out on the ocean. And God comes through. And the only way, you know, it's like exercise. You know, you want to build muscle. You got to have resistance. You got to do stuff that requires effort. And then as you lift those weights, you get stronger. And you know what? As you exercise your faith grows. If you want to experience miracles, go to sea. You know why so many Christians, they say, well, God's never really done anything really, you know, crazy in my life. Well, did you ever place yourself in the position of needing one? Did God ever call you to do something that was impossible in your eyes? And you went ahead and said, okay, I'm just going to trust you. And it's amazing how He delivers. Then you say, wow, that was a miracle. That was something. Miracles. So, you know, Ed Adams has preached here, my friend. Now, he talks about when he went to Burma and they had Bibles, which were outlawed. You know, they, it was against those laws to bring those Bibles into that country. And they went anyway, and there's these armed guards. You know, they were going through a checkpoint. And he admits his faith was not strong. He was really worried. But the guy that was next to him, the Burmese native, said, I've already prayed. They will not see the Bibles. And they searched the car, and they didn't see the Bibles, and they went through. And this is a place where people disappear for worshiping God. And why did he see that miracle? Because he placed himself in a position to receive it. He would have never had that miracle if he hadn't tried to go through the checkpoint. Now, I'm not saying be stupid. Some people do stupid things. And, you know, Jesus, you know, like Satan told Jesus, just jump off the cliff. The angels will save you. And Jesus goes, that's stupid, Satan. I mean, he didn't say that in the Bible, but it's my paraphrase. Because it would be stupid, because the Bible says, don't tempt the Lord your God. Don't do something foolish expecting God to bail you out. God did not call Jesus to jump off the cliff, so Jesus wasn't going to jump off the cliff. Okay? God called Ed to bring those Bibles, and so God was going to enable Ed to bring those Bibles. But sometimes we get ourselves in the mix, and then that's when we pay a price sometimes that God never intended us to pay. So I always fall back on my cop-out counseling statement. People ask me stuff, and I'll tell them what I know, but then in the end, I always have my cop-out counseling statement. There is no substitute for a relationship with God. You know, I can give you advice, and Bible says, get counsel. There's safety in a multitude of counselors, but in the end, you get all the information, you get all the counsel you can, but in the end, it's you take all that information, you go before God. What should I do? And whatever God says, that's on you. And you can't blame the counselor. You can't blame anybody. You've got to have a relationship with God to get that kind of counsel. And there's no substitute for it. But you want to experience cool stuff? Go to sea. That's where the action is. Those that want to please God, You got to go out there. What does the Bible say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Going to see takes faith. And if you want to please Him, you got to go. Wherever it is He's calling you, wherever He's leading you, you got to go to please Him. In order to please Him. Is what I talked about at the Christmas party the other night. I said, the only thing you can give God is your will. He already owns everything. But we do have free will. We do have a will, and God allows us to exercise it. Now, He can make us. I mean, there are some instances in the Bible. Jonah comes to mind, you know. Jonah exercised his will, and God exercised a greater will. Okay? But most of the time, God just lets us make our decisions and we pay the price for it. But if you want to please Him, the only thing you can give Him is your will. That's why Jesus said, if you want to follow Me, you got to pick up your cross. You got to die to yourself. You got to die to your will and let My will take over in your life. That pleases Him. Because when you go to see, and let me tell you, boy, is that true, your focus and trust is on God. When you're out there, you know, I prayed a lot more when I was in trouble out there than when I was here. That's for sure. It's just truth. Man, God's got your attention when you're going through the storm. When He's got you out of your comfort zone, God has got my attention when I'm out of my comfort zone, for sure. And He gives you peace. It's amazing. You know, the first time I ever spoke outside of a church, went to a tent thing, and I was nervous. But I knew God called me. I knew He'd give me a message. And Satan did all kinds of junk to me physically. But I went forward in faith, and I only had a little. But I knew I had to do it. And you know what? I was really focused on God. And the minute I opened my mouth and started preaching, Satan was gone. My physical problem disappeared instantly. And I preached a message. And I hadn't eaten all day because I was sick. I was sick all day. And man, when I got done, the pastor came up and said, man, let's go out to eat. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. I mean, I was ready to eat. Yeah, the wind and the waves were gone, man. I was ready to eat. But He gives you peace. But it's got to be. In fact, I think the verse. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusted in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Yahweh is everlasting strength. True peace is only obtained by those who follow Christ according to God's will, not their own. I don't know about you, but my will gets in the way a lot. My will gets in the way a lot. I definitely have my ideas. But you know what? God definitely has His. Kind of think of it like, just came to my head, so I'm going to say it. But it's like when Whatchadoodle in North Korea said, I'm going to push the button, and Trump said, I have a bigger button. And then you never heard from the guy again. And you know what? I have a button, but God's got a way bigger button. You know? It's His will, not mine. And when you do that, you have peace. You know, there's places I'd rather be. I mean, you know, and things I think I would rather like doing or whatever. I mean, in the grand, you know, I'd like to go do this and that and that. But where I have peace is where I'm at. I'm not going to forfeit peace. Where God has me is where I want to be. I follow him. He doesn't follow me. You know, and I've said this before, but maybe we need to be reminded. You know, we spend a lot of time praying. We're over here, and we're asking God to come over here. God, you know, come over here and bless me with my plan. And God's saying, no, you need to get on board with my plan, and that's where the blessings are. He's a gracious God, and he's a patient God. He lets us go on our little rabbit trails, you know. And then, lovingly but firmly, he seeks to bring us back to his will. Because that's where he wants to use us. That's where the power is. That's where the power, the provision, the peace, that's where it's all at, is under his umbrella. And we just step out there in the umbrella and we're getting drenched and we think we're having a good time because it's our way. And he's going, you're just all wet. Get under my umbrella. So let's just have faith. Let's just go to sea. And you know, whatever that sea is for you, that's what God chose for you. Whatever it is. But make no mistake about it. He does have a purpose and a plan for you in every season of your life. Going to sea at age 80 may be way different than at age 20. I mean, obviously, because we just have different abilities and different spirituality even. Okay? But whatever it is, that's where you need to be. It's just that simple. Are you a follower of Christ? It starts with having a relationship with him by saying, I'm a sinner and I need salvation. I need to be adopted into the family first. Maybe there's someone here today, maybe there's someone watching, you have never made that decision. You may know a lot about Christ, but maybe you've never followed him. Today would be a good day to say, Lord, I need you. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. Please save me and forgive me and use me. And you know what? He will. It'll start you on a journey that I guarantee you, you'll never regret. For the rest of us, who's still on the shore? The boat's sitting there. Jesus is aboard, and he's calling you onto it to whatever destination that vessel is in your life. Who's still on the shore? We can have every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to give you a chance to do business with God. Is there anybody here today who would say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and I recognize my need of that, and I want to be a follower of Christ. I like prayer. Anybody like that? I just never take it for granted. It's too important. For the rest of us, anybody here would say, you know what, I'm still on the shore. There's some things that I know God is kind of asking me to do, and I've been kind of putting it off. Maybe a little bit of fear there. Anybody like that? I'm still on the shore. Some area in my life God's calling me. Anybody like that? Haven't gotten the boat. I see that hand. Thank you. God bless you. How many would say, I'm out there and I'm in a storm and something in my life, I'm in a storm and I need prayer about that. Anybody like that? I'm in a storm. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I saw that hand. God bless you. How many would say, I have some fears and I need prayer about that. I have some fears. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. How many would say, coupled with that fear, maybe I got a little faith problem. I need to have more faith, and I recognize that, and I just need prayer about that, that I trust God in a greater way in whatever it is I'm doing. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. How many would say, wow, sovereignty of God? It kind of scares me a little bit, but I need to submit my will to His in a greater way. Anybody like that? I need to submit my will in a greater way. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us indeed. Help us to not have fear. Help us to have faith. I pray for these that some are still on the shore, Lord. Some are in a storm right now, and maybe they're looking at the waves instead of You. Father, help them get their focus on You. There are some here that they say they have some fears. Father, I pray You'd take away that fear and give them faith in its place. Father, I pray for those that maybe they're a little scared about what You might do if they just totally submitted to You, Lord, trusting in Your sovereignty. And I understand that, Lord. I understand it. But Father, I pray You would touch each one of these, Lord, that they have a need of You to do something regarding this situation of being at sea with You. And Father, I pray You do it even right now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Your time. This is Your time. We come before You knowing that sometimes the storms are really, really tough. Sometimes, Lord, the storms are our bar making. Sometimes they are the making of our enemy. And sometimes, Lord, You put us in a storm. But Lord, as we go through the storms of life, may our gaze always be towards You. Father God, help us to focus on You. Regardless of who made the storm, You are able to calm it. And so, Father, help us to line up with You in whatever area of our life. And we will give You the praise for what You will do. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.